Welcome back to Upstate's Health Link on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, this has already been one of the coldest winters we've seen in quite a long time. And with these unseasonably cold temperatures also comes the risk of cold injuries, some of which could present as an emergency. Well, joining us this morning as part of our continuing series, What's Your Emergency, are Dr. Derek Cooney, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and the Director of Emergency Medical Services and Disaster Medicine, and Dr. Jeremy Joslin, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and the Director of the Wilderness and Expedition Medicine, both at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So cold injuries can really be emergencies, I guess. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, there's a number of different things. When we talk about cold emergencies, a lot of people just think about frostbite, but actually it's important to talk about the other things that cold can do. You can get systemic problems like hypothermia, meaning dropping your temperature to a point where your body just can't handle it and doesn't function properly. And then there's some other associated injuries just that go along with being out in the cold weather.
So it seems to me that if you were to divide up kind of the kinds of things that can happen, something can happen to a part of the body or something can happen to the entire body or a combination thereof. But the cold can really be quite lethal.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really good way to look at it is thinking about cold affecting a single part of the body like frostbite. Where your feet or toes can get really, really cold, your cells freeze, and it acts just like a burn and injures that part of the body. Obviously, there's different degrees. It can be really superficial or just a very slight injury, so it's just the top of your skin. Or it can be really severe where it goes all the way down and can freeze all the way through your foot or your hands. All the way down to bone.
Or the idea of hypothermia, which is the whole body. Right. I want to go through each of them, if you would indulge me here, because I think it's the kind of thing that our listeners probably have heard about or maybe have experienced but don't really know a whole lot about it and why this presents as an emergency. I mean, what it is an emergency about it. Mm-hmm. So let's start. So start with hypothermia, because clearly that's something that is probably could be life-threatening. Am I right?
Yes, indeed. Hypothermia can be life-threatening. And the problem with hypothermia is a lot of times it's unrecognized. And there are things you could do to try to prevent it, obviously, that most people already know, and keeping warm and dry in a cold environment. But some things you could do that actually put you at risk are things people don't think about because they're what they would normally do, like on a recreational trip. So if you're out skiing, a lot of people like to have some alcohol with that. And then they don't think about some of the at-risk population. Young children who are not bundled up properly in the cold, they don't have the same sort of ability to tell that they're in trouble. And then the elderly can get in trouble, and they don't have to be out in the cold per se. Some people's relatives, you know, everybody has that family member that likes to save money in the winter. And with these type of temperatures, they may not be used to the fact that it's going to be into the 40s or 50s in their home. And that, for some individuals, might be cold enough. Even though they're inside and not exposed to the elements, they could actually get hypothermic.
That's a very interesting point, actually, something that I don't think people would understand. But let's get back, Dr. Joslin. Tell me, how would you know if someone has hypothermia? What would you see in a person?
Well, I think the first thing is somebody who's cold, very cold.
So they'll say they're cold.
Yeah, that's sort of the first step. But if you keep getting colder past that, the individual person who's getting cold might not realize that they're getting cold. So you sort of lose that ability to really take care of yourself and understand what's going on, and we call it altered mental status, or just really inability to know what's going on. So it's real important to keep track of people who you know are at risk. So children, elderly people, people who are at risk for hypothermia. It's kind of up to other people to help identify it, not just yourself.
It's interesting because I remember stories of people, I mean, I think it might have been movies I've seen or things I've seen on television, where when you get really cold and hypothermia, you almost want to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly that's the absolute wrong thing to do. But so you're saying it can really alter how you perceive yourself. So you really almost need a buddy system or someone there.
Right.
To recognize that something has changed.
Right, and I think if you see something that doesn't look right, or the person feels something that isn't right, those are times when you should seek help. And we don't want to scare people and think that you can't go outside in a cold winter day without getting hypothermia. Normal, healthy people, sort of in that middle age group, are the lowest risk. It's people you don't necessarily think about. So children who get playing outside and are unsupervised, or the elderly person who goes out to get the mail and slips and falls and is unable to get up and ends up spending hours on the ground in snow, those are when people are really at risk for getting low body temperature, hypothermia.
So tell me a little bit, just briefly, because I don't want to take all the time on this, but what exactly is happening to the body when you have hypothermia? And what's the risk? And why is it life-threatening, potentially?
Right. Well, I mean, your body is designed, but your body is used to regulating all of its systems and its physiology and its organs function properly at a specific range. And when that range drops too low, basically without getting into the gritty details, those organs can be affected by that to such a degree that they fail to continue to function. Your brain, obviously, is a very sensitive metabolic organ, and it stops working properly. You start to make poor decisions that could normally get you, you could normally get yourself out of trouble, and then you can't because, again, you have altered metastasis. And then actually the heart actually itself, if you get cold enough for long enough, we believe there's some instability in the way your heart functions, and you can actually have a cardiac arrest. Now, that's severe hypothermia, but that's the kind of thing they get past that certain point, and we're worried that could occur.
And obviously the people who would be most at risk for these kinds of injuries are people who spend time outside, like as you mentioned earlier, skiers, snowmobilers, ice fishermen, people who work outside. Would you agree? That's
right.
Generally.
Yeah.
Or as you said, occasionally a kid who's playing outside may not be dressed exactly properly and could be at risk for this as well, or an elderly person.
Right. And the other big problem is, at least that we see, is when people use recreational drugs or alcohol to a degree that changes their ability to make good decisions, and they end up going outdoors making poor decisions with their clothing and things like that. They get into trouble. We also didn't really touch too much about water can cause people to be hypothermic, so falling into water. So there's definitely, this is the time of year where ice fishermen, as you mentioned, or snowmobilers can get into trouble if they fall through ice. That's very, very similar physiology that happens when your body temperature is dropping pretty quickly. And that's another consideration as well.
So those are the types of circumstances when you see or suspect that someone has developing hypothermia, you really want to get them to an emergency room or to get some kind of 911 assistance. Am I correct? So what do you recommend doing at that point?
Well, I think most people have a good idea of when something is really serious or not when it comes to something like hypothermia. So obviously, if there's anything inside of you saying something's not right, I'm really worried about maybe the degree of how cold I am is not really what I'm used to, I would recommend always seeking help. Go to the emergency department, get checked out.
And what kind of treatment do you generally recommend for that? I mean, what do you do when someone comes to an ED?
Well, typically the first step, and it usually starts, you know, on the way here, is to rewarm the person. But the key is we need to get them rewarmed, and they need to stay warm. So, and this touches a little bit on frostbite too. As Jeremy mentioned, those tissue is frozen. But what we don't want is someone who's out in a recreational environment, or they're going to have a difficulty getting back, and they rewarm themselves, and then they get cold, and again, or refreeze their fingers or toes or hands and feet, and then we have to rewarm them again. That can actually be very severe. But if you're in the ideal situation, you would just get straight into, if you're in significant distress, you're going to get into the emergency department, and our first modality is to rewarm not just those digits, but the entire body. And so that may require simple as warm blankets, or it may be as aggressive as having to put in special tubes and special fluids into the body to warm the core of the body up.
So are there real hazards associated with refreezing? In other words, you've made it sound like if somebody has gotten frostbite, and the difference obviously is a frostbite, mm-hmm. it would be affecting some part of the body, usually the digits like the fingers or the toes.
Right.
Is there a danger, as Dr. Cooney alluded to, of refreezing?
Absolutely, and I think frostbite is the most dangerous thing. You know, Dr. Cooney mentioned hypothermia, and that's sort of a related problem. Physiologically, it's not a big problem to rewarm, to recool from hypothermia, but people who have hypothermia tend to have frostbite and maybe not know about it. So it's also a recommendation to not rewarm and recool. For frostbite, absolutely. It's definitely much worse to refreeze after you've been warmed, something that's frostbitten, than to leave it cold and frostbitten for an extra 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes to get to care to get rewarmed. Definitely the injury is much greater.
So that a secondary, basically if you have a second insult right. to that tissue,
right.
it's even more damaging than the first one.
And the maybe. Other thing that people have a tendency to do you do when your hands are cold? You rub them. You rub them together. So people, and if that's done early and it keeps your hands warm, that's one thing. But another thing we notice is some people, they notice, my God, I've got my hands are frozen, and then they rub them really hard, or they have other people rub them really, really hard to try to get them rewarmed. The fact is that they've actually gotten to the stage of real frostbite, and the tissue's frozen. Agitating the tissue, beating it up when you rub it can actually damage it even more. So it's a little bit counterintuitive.
So that's a key point. So let's say you have realized you have frostbite, and maybe you're so far away from in a circumstance where you can't really get to an emergency mm-hmm. room. What do you recommend people to do in that circumstance?
To get out of the cold and to not rewarm it.
Is the notion that you want to, if you want to achieve more normal body temperature, to do it slowly, or is that not the issue? Is it just to get it warm?
Well, as far as slow, I mean, slowly in that you don't want to put hot water on something
right.
and burn the tissue,
right?
Burn the skin and the underlying tissue. But we still consider rapid rewarming as long as it's done
moderate temperature
at a moderate temperature. Getting the temperature up fast is a good thing. We just don't want to use excessive heat to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, do you see these kinds of injuries? What do you see when you're in the emergency department in terms of these kinds of cold related injuries? What's the common thing that you generally see?
The common thing, and this is why we talked about in the beginning, is the children who are unsupervised, and we see elderly, and we see people who are using recreational drugs that aren't thinking right, that are running around maybe without shoes or something else that you wouldn't necessarily think of doing.
If you were thinking clearly.
Right, exactly. and those are the people that end up getting into trouble.
Are there other preventative things is the type of clothing that you wear also? There's a lot of hype about this. I know people talk about people, and you're an expedition expert. People talk about people rock climbing or mountain climbing or even helicopter skiing. Are there better and worse types of clothing? Is this whole idea of layering really crucial?
Yeah, there's definitely a strategy that comes with staying warm. It's probably beyond the scope of this to get into too much detail, but there's definitely a strategy, and it has to do with multiple layers and the right types of materials in your clothing and things like that.
And so things that breathe, so-called
right,
breathable layers.
Right. Wearing something like cotton where it can get wet and then have
That's
difficulty.
A mistake. Cotton's a mistake.
Right, in the cold because it can get wet and it doesn't dry out very quickly, and then it stays cold and ends up causing more problems than it does good.
Dr. Cooney, what would you recommend in general, though, if you suspect, because this obviously is something that could be quite prevalent in our climate for people to be exposed to excessive cold? When would you decide, or when would somebody decide, this is something I have to go to the emergency room for versus something I can care for at home?
Well, I think Dr. Joslin hit on it. I mean, most people realize when they're beyond their comfort zone and they're having serious problems that they've not experienced before, and that's the time to get in. People with previous cold injuries recognize that they shouldn't be exposed to those things. But I think coming into the emergency department early and letting us evaluate is very important, especially at University Hospital. We have a burn surgery team that are experts in dealing with this, and we also have hyperbaric oxygen therapy for people with severe frostbite. So not only are we very good at rewarming people, but then we have these expert subspecialty areas of care that we can offer here because of the hospital type of hospital we are.
Yeah, the hyperbaric medicine services are very, very important, as you said. So I want to thank you. This has been very informative. And once again, I want to thank you both for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Derek Cooney and Dr. Jeremy Joslin. They're both directors. They're both actually professors of emergency medicine, assistant professors of emergency medicine at Upstate Medical University. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after this short break.